Welcome back to the Roundtable. It's, by my calculation, a Tuesday morning. It's a little drab out there, 13 minutes after 9 o'clock. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue, and believe me, it's drab in here. It's Studio A. It is jammed to the rafters with panelists. It's time for the Roundtable panel. And on the panel today, we have our friend, political consultant and lobbyist, Libby Post. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning, Ray. Lovely to be here.
How is your health beverage this morning, my
friend? My healthy beverage is great. No calories, a little bit of caffeine.
It looks delicious, I must say.
And the can is nice.
It's very, very nicely done.
No product endorsements here.
I didn't say what it was.
She didn't say what it was. Dean of International Studies at Bard College and Academic Director of the Bard Globalization and International Affairs Program, Jim Ketterer, is here. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, and I appreciate the music that brought us in.
Little Charlie Parker.
Oh, yeah, I should also say that tomorrow night at the Linda, Lucy Woodward, Charlie Hunter are playing. It's a great show. Highly recommend that anybody, everybody go to it. They're really fantastic. They're on a national tour.
Do you have a vested interest in this?
I don't have any vested interest
except that they're fantastic.
Is there any other program this week at the Linda?
We'll get to that.
Hang on, just wait for
but
it, Spain. Jeepers Creepers.
Jim Ketterer is a superstar right here on WAMC, and we are very pleased to have him.
Well said, sir. Also, the guy who jumps the gun the most, he's retired now, so he's got plenty of time to be eager. He was the associate editor of the Times Union for hundreds of years. Mike Spain, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, and good morning.
And then there's J.P. Miller from the Empire Report. Good morning, J.P.
Morning.
You know, J.P., your Empire Report screaming in bold type, Woodstock canceled. It might not be canceled, though, right?
Did it have a question mark after it?
No, I think it's canceled.
I don't know, man. According to the AP, and let me read this for you. And then we'll get to Alan. Hi, Alan. In a statement released late Monday, Woodstock 50 co-founder Michael Lang and Woodstock LLC said they were committed to ensuring that the 50th anniversary of Woodstock is marked with a festival. They say it's not canceled. It will go on despite the fact that the large investor is out.
Yeah, they need money to run. I don't want to argue with them, but I think that it's likely not going to happen. It's April 30th. This concert with, 100,000 people is going to happen in another 4 months or 3 months. They're going to charge $450 a ticket. They're going to have all these people and all this riots. I don't think it's going to happen.
Riots. It's
always riots.
Come on,
Woodstock.
Man, it's not 1969.
They light the cars on fire. They light the couches on fire.
There wasn't any violence at Woodstock.
Were you
not,
no, you're
not
talking about Woodstock
99.
Okay. And that was what, in Utica, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so this brings me to my point, and then we'll introduce Alan Chartok. My point is this.
What is your point?
This concert is supposed to be at Watkins Glen. The folks in Bethel, at the Bethel Wood Center for the Arts, are having their own commemoration of this.
But they can't call it Woodstock.
And with that's Ringo Michael and. Lang.
Well, no, Michael Lang is involved in this.
No, but Michael Lang is the one behind the Bethel.
Oh.
No, Michael Lang is the owner of the Woodstock trademark, and he is one of the players trying to get the Watkins Glen going, and he today is saying that they're still going to have it, maybe.
Here's my point. If you're going to have it somewhere else, why call it Utica, Guam? Don't call it Woodstock.
Well, wait a second. It's the
brand.
Now, White Lake was not Woodstock where the original one happened.
Exactly, Michael. Well, you are so smart.
You also have to ask the question of how long have we known that this year was going to be the 50th anniversary of Woodstock? We've known this for 50 years, and we're now 3 months or 4 months ahead of the concert, and it's still not settled. How is this not all organized
and well organized? Hold on. Can I just stop for a minute and introduce our buddy Alan Chartok? Alan,
who was at the original Woodstock?
No, he wouldn't go. We wouldn't go to that.
That's correct.
Did you?
No.
Alan Chartok is here. He is our political observer, and he's just a great guy. We all love him. Hey, we have our own event coming up.
We do. We have Pete Seeger.
Yeah.
Memorial concert, and we're all very happy to have it. The numbers are going up serendipitously, as I knew they would.
All right, now tell me about this concert. This is coming up at the Linda.
At the Linda on Friday night.
This coming Friday?
Yeah.
And so that would be the 100th birthday of Pete, were he alive.
Pete loved WAMC, and this is the very least we can do to honor him.
And Artie will be there.
Happy. Artie's been dead for many, many years now. But Happy.
Oh, I was talking about Garfunkel.
Oh,
No, he's not going to be there.
No,
either,
he won't be there.
But Happy Traum is going
to
be there.
Our wonderful
you just Artie, wanted to be able to say the name Garfunkel.
Our wonderful Artie has passed on a number of years ago, and we loved him.
All right.
But in any case, here's the point. Happy is a great singer. He knows how to bring people together. He was the folk music counselor. This is something most people don't know because his career went on to meteoric heights. But he was the folk singer in residence at both Camp Buck's Rock.
Oh, yeah. That's where you first saw Pete Seeger.
That's right.
Right.
And also at Camp Lincoln Farm.
How many camps did you go to?
I never went to Lincoln Farm.
Okay.
I never went to Lincoln Farm. It was too far left for me.
God, if I was drinking coffee, there would have been a Danny Thomas spit take right there.
I didn't go there. But anyway, Happy is terrific.
Okay.
He's the best.
And to get a ticket to this event, which is a one-of-a-kind event at the Linda on Friday, you have to do what?
You have to do one of three things.
Okay.
Pray that there'll be some left.
Okay.
Although there will.
You got to move, though.
You got to move. Or you could go to 1-800-323-9262. Write it down, 1-800-323-9262. Or you go to WAMC.org and do it that way.
Okay.
All of those are available to you, but time is getting short.
Right. We only have a few days left. If you want to go to
this
event,
I'll be there.
You will definitely.
Oh,
are you
yeah.
bringing the banjo?
No. I wasn't invited to, and I won't do it. Oh.
What do you mean you weren't invited to?
It's your.
I hereby
venue.
Invite you to.
I love Happy, and I'm just delighted.
You don't want to ruin his show?
No.
Okay. By the way, if you'd like to join the conversation today, once it actually begins, you can email us at panel@wamc.org. Panel@wamc.org. A few ground rules. The list seems to be getting longer every time I guest host. You know this one. Keep the letter short, to the point, on topic. Don't include links or attachments. Don't use abbreviations. And please proofread your letters. Typos will disqualify your letter from being read. And Sarah LeDuc, who is the screener, she's quite...
assiduous.
Really? She looks more like a perennial. Don't send more than one email per day. And now this is the new one. Please remember, it's hard to correctly guess tone when reading an email. This is good. Sarcasm... specifically, rarely translates in print.
How about not being a troll?
Don't be
we
a
get,
troll.
We get those.
Panel@wamc.org is the email address. Joe Biden accused President Trump of abusing the powers of his office and ignoring everyone but his political base on Monday in his first public rally as presidential candidate, arguing in the crucial battleground state of Pennsylvania that strengthening unions and promoting social and economic unity can restore Democrats to the White House. Hundreds of supporters and labor activists were there. And he said, there's only one thing that stands in our way. It's a broken political system that's deliberately being undermined by our president to continue to abuse the power of the office, saith Joe Biden.
Well, I think he's doing the right thing, which is you run against Trump. There are those people who think that you get down in the weeds with the policy and stuff, and he will, I'm sure. But this is all about getting rid of this guy who many people consider, well, let's face it, a monster. It's what brought the Congress, the House of Representatives, into the Democratic fold, in my opinion, and it's what will work this time also. And by the way, there are two new polls out, one showing him with 20 people, 39% of
yeah,
the vote.
Commanding lead.
Yeah, one with 34%.
You mean among the Democratic?
Among the Democratic people who will be voting in this primary. I may actually, because I live in a good state, Massachusetts, where if you're an unenrolled voter, you can take a ballot in either primary. Did you know that, Jim? Mm-hmm. Did you know that? You knew that.
I did. Yeah.
So I'm going to get that. I may take a Republican ballot and vote for Bill Weld, who I really love.
But I think by showing up, I mean, having this rally where he had it and with whom he had it, that, Biden is also sending a message to his Democratic rivals that he's the one that can win over this vote, that he's the one that can get the purple vote.
To what end? In other words, you're showing them where they can say, oh, well, you know, you're right. I'm going to cut out now. They're not going to cut out. They, hope springs eternal. Their mother told them they could be president.
No, you're talking about the voters, though, the Democrats.
Voters, yeah.
They may see a need.
I do apologize.
The electability quotient, that he has it,
okay,
the others don't.
Let's go back to the Republican primaries in 2016, a similar number. And there were certainly front runners, those much more established, who said,
Jeb Bush can win. Jeb Bush.
What happened?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what happened there, but I know what's going to happen here. Everybody expected that when Biden entered the race, if he entered the race, his numbers would go down, and that's why he didn't want to be the front runner, because front runners are always attacked. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. His numbers are going up, and they could still go down, but his numbers are going up. They did it the right way. They cleared off all of the tangential stuff that might have embarrassed him. They said it early so that it couldn't be said that they weren't doing it. And right now, people like him. People like this guy, and he has a gravitas that is very, very different from whoever is in the White House right now.
Yeah, I think he's making it clear that he can effectively win over some of the so-called Trump base. You know, the people that were Democrats historically frustrated and in 2016 were swayed to go for Trump to try something new, who are now, he'll remind them that they're not seeing the benefits of that. And he is very, very effective in appealing to the labor unions, which are already starting to line up and endorse him. So it could be that he is the most effective against Trump, but can he win the Democratic primary?
Well, that is the issue. And this last round of polls certainly shows that he's in position to do that. Because Bernie is going down and he's going up.
I'm looking at 538.com where polls are aggregated. And there was a presidential poll taken in Texas the 25th through the 28th of April by Emerson College, and they have Biden by 1 point, and that's in
over
Texas.
Trump.
Over Trump. That's
in the state of Texas.
In the state of Texas.
Today. That's a long way between lip and cup, as Alan might say.
I get that, but the thing is, we're talking about these polls, and they're all a long way between one point and the other. So, you know, but still, in Texas, for Biden to be ahead by 1 point, I think that shows that things
Which
are
is
softening.
Ironic, because Beto helped him.
Yeah.
I was wrong. I thought that Biden was not going to run and that he couldn't raise money. It turns out he's running and he's raising a significant amount of money. I was also impressed yesterday with him talking about to the union vote. He said millionaires and hedge fund managers did not build this country. Working people did. Mm-hmm. And so he is going to Trump country, and he's delivering a lot of what Trump said to Trump country. And he's going to say, you know, this guy isn't delivering on his promises. I can. And so I was very impressed with that poll you talked about, Alan, that I thought for sure that 30% was his ceiling. I didn't think that there was any way that he would go up in the polls. And for him to announce last week with some not great headlines around him with the apology to Anita Hill and all that, and he bounces 10 points, a guy that everybody knows bounces up 10 points after his announcement, I think it's a big statement.
You know, it takes a big man to admit he was wrong, and you're bigger than I am by far. You're much taller than
at least 4 feet.
Yeah. He's taller than everyone,
and so, you know, that is very good of you.
I'm still not saying he's going to win, but he's had a good first week. How's that?
Okay. Well, I think he can use the story that's been circulating about all these big corporations paying absolutely no taxes to his advantage, and that will play in the Rust Belt. That'll play in the swing states big time. And that'll be helpful to him, because Trump's tax cuts help those corporations not have to pay any taxes, and yet the little people are paying through the nose. So.
If I was a Democratic candidate or any candidate, that's all I would talk about. Yeah. That's the message right there, is that the biggest corporations pay zero taxes. And how much are you paying?
Right. Amazon paid zero. I mean, it's just disgusting.
We're just 2 weeks away from people having to file their taxes.
That's right.
It's on their minds.
Yeah.
And they saw the numbers.
Yeah.
You mean 2 weeks after?
After, yeah.
We already got ours back.
Did you?
Yeah.
How'd you do?
Well, I take so much out of my paycheck because we got so screwed so many times.
Yeah.
Nice.
That you got
money
back.
We got some money back. Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Well, you know, we got hit by the feds, and boy, April 15th, they were there. Take that money immediately out of our account. I mean, they didn't wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm still waiting for the state to give me my money back.
Now, I'm interested if we can get off of that for a minute and go back to the support for Biden.
We have 2 minutes. Go ahead.
I'm fascinated with the Cuomo approach, because Cuomo is sharing his money with Biden. He's putting this money, he told us, you know, he made a lot of news on WAMC by saying that, you know, Biden was his favorite. But now he's officially endorsed, I believe. And he's giving him money and giving him access. So what does he want?
Attorney General, maybe?
That's what the only thing I can think of.
He doesn't want VP, though, right?
No.
No.
I don't think that would be a good ticket from the Northeast to white men. I mean, don't you think that if whoever, but I mean, if
it's
it is
be
Biden.
Harris.
Yes. He'll go for somebody.
So you already then are anointing Biden as the Democratic nominee?
Yeah.
I did it days ago. I did it weeks ago. I told you who
it's
was
pretty early in the game. There's a lot of players. Right?
I'm excited to see the first debate. Which of these candidates is going to take on Biden for being too old? You know, he was. There were clips Bernie of him slurring his speech yesterday
good.
In Delaware. He's got a lot of baggage. Some of these Democrats are going to take him on and try and take him out.
Hey, Trump is even saying he's too old. Younger. Trump is younger.
Going on Sleepy Joe. His advisors apparently are telling him not to do that because it helps Biden. It helps solidify him as the main person, but you can't tell Trump anything, so that's what he's doing.
What was the slogan for Jeb Bush? Low energy Jeb or something? Yeah. Was that it?
Slow Jeb.
Mm-hmm. Low energy, right.
Well, also, don't forget that the country had sort of been bushed out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't as if we have this independent guy out there.
Right. Yeah, this is true.
Well,
what? Well is for...
Well is for what?
Water.
Well is for water. Alan Chartok is here, and J.P. Miller, Libby Post, Mike Spain, Jim Ketterer, Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. It's the Roundtable Panel, and once again, you can join us by emailing us at panel@wamc.org. Don't get snarky. No sarcasm. We can't understand it.
We're not trolling.
We're not capable of understanding sarcasm. Panel@wamc.org. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Roundtable on a Tuesday morning. 9:34 is the time. Ray is in for Joe this week, and we have a great panel for you this day. Mike Spain is here, formerly of the Times Union. J.P. Miller of the Empire Report, Libby Post, who is a political consultant and lobbyist. And then we have the academic among us. Well, there's two. We have a retired academic in Alan Chartok, and we have a dean of international studies at Bard College and academic director of the Bard Globalization and International Affairs Program, Jim Ketterer, here.
He's the real thing.
So, you're a real thing, too. You're just a little bit relaxed now, right?
When you say a little bit, you mean I'm short.
No, I just mean that you're not going in every
day.
You're,
I know.
You're,
I know.
You're not
what you're
teaching
up to.
The classes. You're not going on endless sabbaticals. Whatever you
sabbatical.
Do.
There's a hit if I ever heard one.
Yeah, really.
endless
sabbaticals.
The email
really?
Address.
Really?
What are you a professor?
Yes.
All right. Well, then you go on one too.
You don't get one.
I don't get one. I'm an adjunct.
Ah.
I get one. I get a sabbatical when they don't have my class.
Okay. Well, I apologize to Libby, but not to Alan. The email address is panel@wamc.org, and we have some letters, sir.
Oh, we do. Oh, thank you, Ray, for reminding me of that. Biden equals Truman, ? Good morning, panel. It was very good to hear Joe Biden proudly talk about what the Democratic Party has done for ordinary working people over the years. Unlike most of their candidates are almost embarrassed to call themselves Democrats, I'm eagerly waiting the first time someone calls out, "Give him hell, Joe!" Fred from Fort Plain.
Thanks, Fred.
Okay, shall I move on?
Mike says yes.
Okay, John says... Just leave them there, and then I'll give them to you all at once.
Gee, a little touchy, are we? All right.
Wow. John?
Go right ahead, sir. Wow. Whatever you say.
Jeez.
It's fine.
What did I miss
here? Yeah, don't. You know what? Just don't worry about
it.
John said, 2020. How confident can we be that there will be a 2020 election? I hear a lot of this in the mail. The man in the White House will do whatever it takes to save himself. We now see that the, quote, national emergency is his ticket to survival. Suspending an election is not beyond him. With help from Mitch McConnell, he can prevail. Does anybody remember the burning of the Reichstag? And that's from John in Sandusfield.
This reaction to the president saying that there's been an attempted coup against his administration is it's a real reaction from a portion of his base, and it continues to swirl out there.
Yeah.
Where does it go? Who knows? But
as you say that, we're looking at an attempted coup underway in Venezuela.
Jim, the question I wanted to ask you is, and it's always one that's intrigued me about this guy, does he believe that the last election was rigged? Does he believe that there's an attempted coup going on? or does he just saying that because he's a manipulative SOB?
Yeah. Mike, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, he's the kind of person, and we're going to perhaps talk about the Deutsche Bank subpoenas from the Congress and different things. He just does everything he can to fight. He throws everything at whoever is challenging him, whatever is useful. And these kinds of remarks and these kinds of threats are just part and parcel to the way he
ran
his real estate
business. You didn't answer the question.
Yeah, I would say that whether he believes it or not, I'm not sure, but I think a good portion of his base does believe it. And if you have enough people who believe that there was an attempted coup against a sitting administration, what might they then support in response to that attempted coup?
Which, by the way, Jim, is why many smart analysts believe that you don't want to impeach this guy, because that will only add to that narrative.
It'll be even if it was done legitimately and lawfully, it would be regarded as a coup and a reject. You know, basically a removal of an elected official
to them.
Yeah, to them.
Yeah, it would be seen as illegitimate.
Right, and the great thing would be to do the ultimate impeachment, throw him out.
Well, and on the coup thing, I think that since the Senate is still controlled by Republicans, I think there are going to be hearings by Republicans as to how the Mueller investigation got started. Lindsey Graham wants to, you know, investigate, I think, some of the senior people in the FBI as to how this investigation and how this all came about. And, you know, that there will be, I imagine, a report coming out of there as well that will either...
Oh, come on.
You know, prove or disprove what the president's saying.
Oh, come on. But JP, don't you think that the phone line between the White House and Lindsey Graham, I mean, this guy
it's
is
the
just,
new red phone.
He's just repeating what he's been told to say. I mean, this guy's looking for anything he can. The reason I love to have JP on the program is because while he may not be a Republican now, I don't know if he is or not. I don't ask those questions, but I do know that he was a high campaign official for what's his face?
Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney. That's
I was a low campaign official for Mitt Romney.
Yeah, well, you were. You were important. You were in finance, and you knew it. I had a guy call me yesterday and said, "How come you never ever have anybody on the Republican side on?" And that's just wrong.
I just want to say one more thing about this coup thing, though, that I mean, I think it's important for us to think about the behavior of our institutions and the response of the institutions on both sides of the aisle and both houses of the Congress. But I think we also need to look beyond the beltway. We need to look across the country and connect some dots that maybe don't occur to us immediately. So when I see reports about organized armed militias along the southern border, and then I imagine how those militias might respond if they felt that their president was removed illegitimately. Mm. I find that to be very frightening.
I hear you. Well, anyway, and then we heard from Maureen, who said, "Good morning, see white man linked to Clinton and Obama. Nice man, but really, you need to knock on some doors by my friends," and that's from Maureen. "Oh, you need to lock on some doors, my friends." Mm. See, that's the way it went. I have one more, and then you can take these away, okay?
Oh, whatever you say, sir.
All right. Mark says, "Biden. I know Biden looks okay overall, but his performance on The View was disturbing. He sounded uncertain and mixed up adjectives and adverbs with odd sentences. He worries me under pressure," and that's from Mark. As opposed to Trump, who doesn't worry you under, I mean, perhaps.
Put a simple sentence
well,
together.
I mean, there's 19 others in the primary, likely, so maybe she's referring to those.
Well, you know, there's a group out there called the Association of English Majors.
That's right, and they listen.
They listen and they write. And if you do something wrong, they'll tell you. Mixed up adjectives and
don't
adverbs.
Don't dangle a participle.
Yeah, right. Mixed up adjectives and adverbs with odd sentences.
And don't end a sentence with a preposition.
Right.
That's the sort of English up with which
I never start one with but.
Okay.
Okay, now you can take all these away. I'm done with them now.
Thank you, sir. German bank being sued by President Trump in his attempt to block congressional subpoenas for his business record says it's committed to providing appropriate information. Deutsche Bank spokesperson said, "We remain committed to providing appropriate information to all authorized investigations and will abide by a court order regarding such investigations.
Ooh.
Trump is suing Deutsche Bank and Capital One. The lawsuit by Trump, his sons, and his daughter was filed yesterday in federal court. Now, two House committees have subpoenas out for Deutsche Bank, several other financial institutions, as part of investigations into Trump finances. The lawsuit seeks to block the financial institutions from disclosing information and complying with those.
What would you do if you were Deutsche Bank? You know, Jim, you're the internationalist among us. And so the question I have here is, what would you do? You know that there's a very good chance that Trump will be out of here. And you would prefer not to have the new establishment furious with you. So the right thing to say, right, is if they subpoena me, I have no choice. I'm going to give them the data. And there's a lot of money involved here. What is it, something like $350 million? Something like that.
I mean, I think it sends the signal. Their statement that was just read sends the signal not only here in the United States but around the world. Deutsche Bank is going to follow the law. They're a stable institution that can be kind of predictable, all the sorts of things you want in business. And I think the money at stake for them and their overall business is much bigger than any amount of business they've done with the Trump organization.
Sure. Modification to your statement that I would make is that they say they're going to comply with the law, because we sure haven't seen that yet.
Actually, their statement said they'll abide by the
court order, yeah.
Which
yeah.
notes that we're not going to do anything
yet. Is
that
yet. The subpoena or no?
No,
that's
court order
than a subpoena.
That ultimately decides whether the challenge by Trump of the subpoena is resolved. That's what they're going to abide by.
And is so that appropriate, you think, or no?
Well, I mean, they're basically saying that They're not going to just turn over the records to the House committees. They're going to wait for a court to step in. And, I mean, I don't think that's inappropriate. If it's in litigation, wait for it to be resolved. Would be jumping the gun if they did it now.
Yeah, and knowing Trump, you know, his big thing is delay.
Yeah, it could be in litigation a long time. Yeah.
Right, but the timing, I wondered about that. I mean, what do you think the timing would be? I mean, this could actually backfire on Trump because it could all blow up, you know, 6 months before Election Day.
Or when he's out of office and he can't pardon himself.
Or better yet, three days before Election Day.
Yeah, it's all about throwing everything at the wall.
It's the Roy Cohn approach to defense.
And he reads the polls. He knows that Americans are tired of investigation after investigation after investigation because the polls show that. And he's playing that and is trying to play that one.
But I think he also knows not only are they tired of the investigation, they're tired of him. I mean, just him. This stuff where he tweets virtually every day 10, 20 times. Oh, that's just him again. We saw that in Italy with Berlusconi. They got tired. They just said it's enough of this nonsense.
The email address here is panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org, if you want to send us an email. Mike Spain, J.P. Miller, Libby Post, Jim Ketterer, and Alan Chartok are here. You are there. We'll be back in Studio A in a moment. Wow, he turned my mic on. I wasn't even ready to end the Charlie Parker there, Mike Bowen. You know, I do a little nod when I'm ready. But he thought I nodded because I was kind of keeping the beat. By nodding my head. So
give
it's
head
my
fake.
Fault, not Mike Bowen's
But the other
fault.
Thing you were doing was playing the drum on your coffee cup.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting because I was just thinking about, I was listening to some Gene Krupa.
Really?
Yeah.
He played the drums.
Oh boy, was he a drummer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people, you know, don't remember Krupa. A lot of people don't remember anybody.
He was good.
They should go listen to Sing, Sing, Sing.
Right.
The great Krupa solo. Mm-hmm.
On Benny Goodman.
Yeah. Right.
And I have that on my Pandora, and it keeps on coming around.
He was no Sonny Payne, I'll tell you that.
No, he certainly wasn't.
Sonny Payne. Classic drummer for Basie.
For Basie,
yeah. Remember? Oh.
Oh, boy.
Now that guy. Oh, forget about it. It's the round... Libby's had quite enough.
I know who you're talking about.
How does Ginger Baker fare to all these guys?
Yes, that's right. It's Ginger Baker time.
Well,
Let's
Buddy Rich had
that.
Some things to say about Ginger Baker that were unkind, but that was not
but
uncommon.
But there's only one Krupa.
It is the roundtable panel, and we digress. We apologize to those who are very serious. It
and
is
younger.
9:48 on a Tuesday morning. Alan Chartok, J.P. Miller, Libby Post, Mike Spain, Jim Ketterer are here. You are there. Panel@wamc.org. Alan.
Thomas says, polls, it is laughable that you still base your prediction predictions upon polls. These are the same polls that told you Hillary Clinton was going to win and Trump was going to lose. Please come back to reality and base your predictions upon something more reliable, such as what candidates bring to the table as far as what changes they wish to see in the country. Thanks for all you do, says Thomas. Well, Thomas, I'm not basing anything on the polls. I thought that Biden was the guy who was going to win right from the beginning and said so.
They're a snapshot in time.
Yeah.
I would say the movement in the polls is something that is dramatic and significant. You see Buttigieg, I think, went from 15 down to 7. And for Joe Biden, who everybody knew 3 weeks ago, all of a sudden he jumps 10 points in the polls in a week. For someone who has 100% name ID, it's significant.
I think it's still too early to let this shake out. I mean, Beto was way up, and now he's sort of in the weeds. And
right.
It's early, but it's a big it's a very strong indicator.
I agree with JP and not with you.
I think he'll maintain his share, and it'll grow.
I think the ability to raise money, too, that's another thing to follow. And we've seen that Biden can raise a lot of money quickly. Harris has also raised a lot of money quickly. But, you know, you have to look at a variety of things. People tend to discount polls when they don't like the result.
Mm-hmm. More than a month ago, I told you that the ticket was going to be Biden and Harris, and it's still going to be Biden and Harris.
Now, when is the actual convention? Next summer.
Right.
A lot could change by then.
It's going to be in Minnesota.
You could be very wrong.
Yes.
Yeah. Very wrong.
Will Biden win Iowa? Well, will he win New Hampshire?
Let's just hope that his health remains good and that he's able to. Because, as you know, politicians do not have term limits for the most part. They do in New York City. But God has term limits. So you never know, you know, who's going to go and who'll stay. I hope Biden
speaking
wins.
Of that.
Why are you looking at me when you say speaking of that?
Speaking of gone. Now, Pete Seeger's gone, but we're having a 100th anniversary show at the Linda on Friday night. And if you want to get
I'm
tickets.
I'm going to be there.
Right.
I'll introduce it.
Okay. It's 1-800-323-9262 if you want to make your pledge and get your ticket to the show.
Yeah.
I believe it's a $100 pledge, but this is a one-of-a-kind event with Mr. Traum.
Right. $100 per ticket.
Yeah. Right.
Right. And Happy's great. And what can I say? Okay, let's move. Thomas says, Thomas told us we were laughable.
Yeah.
But he also said, thanks for all you do.
Right.
So took
nice
sort of the edge off. You know what I mean? Okay, Christine says, Biden, Anita Hill. Joe Biden will have to do a bigger mea culpa to Anita Hill. He needs women of color to win against President Trump. And that's from Christine. Well, I don't know. You're right. He certainly needs women of color. He needs women of all kinds. But right now, I believe the polls are showing that they're with him. Women are with him. So what can I tell you, Christine? Not all women. Some women aren't. And then here comes Alice, who knows how to start a letter so it will get read. She says, dear wonderful panel, Trump and his administration are frustrating congressional investigation by refusing to honor subpoenas and requests for information, and by their maneuvers, they are doing terrible damage to the rule of law in our democratic system. If it goes to the courts, time will drag on. Every one knows the Supreme Court now cannot be counted on. The longer this continues, the worse damages, and the less Congress gets done. It all works to Trump's advantage. Wouldn't it make sense for the Democrats to switch their strategy? Why don't they expose the illegality of what Trump is doing, censure him, and turn to passing laws and formulating strong progressive programs to run on in 2020, just asking? And that's Ella Alice from West Stockbridge, where I stop, you know, almost every day.
Oh, do you?
Every day.
Where do you go? Where
at the public market there. I go to the public market. If you hit it just at 4 o'clock, not before, not after, you can get a rotisserie chicken.
Oh, there you go.
And they're delicious.
So if you want to meet Alan, you just go at 4 o'clock and you wait.
Yeah.
Buy the rotisserie chicken.
That's right.
Right, because you'll always find him there.
Yeah. You lurk around there.
You know that we have a new district attorney in Berkshire County.
Yes.
Very progressive. Yeah. Andrea Harrington. She is married to the guy who owns the public market. What do you think of that?
That's amazing.
Sounds like a conspiracy.
Small world.
Yeah.
You know they're going to be good rotisserie chickens there.
Right.
This chicken ain't for you, but I can't tell that story right now because the fund drive isn't here yet.
Yeah, that's a classic.
This chicken ate for you.
You've heard the story.
Please
tell me you've heard the story so we don't have to hear the story.
But
it's an old George Gobel line, isn't it, or something?
Alan would go and get the chickens when he was
a
young
Williams
man.
From the Williams barbecue.
I don't want to go.
Okay, all right. Well, you started to tell the story.
Oh, his mother got...
Mother bought every meal at that place. So one day I came in when I was a poor graduate student, ordered a chicken, put in a bag. The guy turns around and I said, "My mom says to say hello." I said, "Who's your mom?" He said, "Dr. Shartok." He said, that chicken ain't for you. Give me back that chicken.
So in other words, he gave him a lesser chicken until he knew who he was.
He gave you a better chicken.
Chicken, yes. Of a lesser god.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay, and here we go.
Could I just say something to that letter before we move on?
Sure, of course.
We only want talking about chicken now. I'm sorry.
I guess, please. Yeah, maybe we could
go ahead.
The Democratic strategy could be a rotisserie chicken in every pot. But the writer says, you know, the Democrats should focus on passing laws and focusing on policy. Number one, having one house in the Congress is not enough to pass laws.
Exactly, right. My friend. That's why you're on this panel, because you are brilliant. But there's another part of this, Jim, that is very important. In order to get the other house, you have to win the election.
That's right.
That's why you don't impeach right now. You've got this whole momentum that led to the acquisition of the House of Representatives by the Democrats. You wait.
Even if impeaching is the right thing to do.
That's what a lot of people say.
Absolutely.
It might not be the right politics.
Look, the House would vote to impeach. The Senate won't do anything. It'll be a statement. The House should just censure him.
And Trump will be off the table.
Right. And just censure him and move on if they want, to give people their satisfaction of something being done.
I think that the Nancy Pelosi advice to just let the investigations continue before you decide what to do is going to be very effective because the timing we were talking before, because by next year they'll start to be perhaps generating some useful information for the Democrats to use going into the election.
Right. Okay. And then we heard from Matthew, who says, "Help me out here. One always hears it that the economy's stupid.
Stupid. Right.
That Trump will be hard to beat because of the great economy. Is the electorate gullible enough to believe that Trump, or any other president for that matter, exerts any significant influence over the state of our free enterprise capitalist economy?" It's a very good question. Clearly, a president may promote economic policies such as tax breaks, but do people actually believe that their economies, their economic well-being rests in the hands of the White House? Is there any correlation between the occupant of the White House and the state of our economy? Mr. Pichetti isn't here today. Nevertheless, Jim, you might want to answer that question. The answer is...
I can answer.
Please. I forgot. Mike was blocking the view of you. Otherwise, I would have called him.
The big thing is in a bad economy, a president, it's very hard for a president to get reelected. Very hard to get reelected.
Why is that?
Because you get blamed for it. You're at the top, you get the blame.
Exactly.
But in a good economy, it becomes a huge advantage for an incumbent
president.
Absolutely
right.
But don't economists say that presidents get far too much credit for good economies and far too much blame for bad economies?
Well, who cares what they say? They don't know what they're talking about anyway. Did I say that?
Yeah, you
and
did.
Aaron Pacitti will be here Friday. We can ask him.
But the reality is what JP was telling you. People reward the guys. If things are going good, they say, "Hey, things are going good. What do I want to change this for?"
But I think if you see what Biden was saying yesterday about the economy, he was saying, "Is it really helping you? You know, is this just helping Wall Street?" We can see the stock market looks good, but that's not, you know, Wall Street is not Main Street. And, you know, I think that he's trying to make some headway on that.
At 4 o'clock in the morning this morning, I was listening to the beep, and they did a big thing on India, and nobody in India can find a job. I mean, literally, the whole population is out of work, and this is what they were saying, particularly in the non-urban areas. They said the only reason we were going to vote for somebody is because if we have a job or not. They didn't say a job for how much money. They didn't say a job for the minimum wage. They wanted a job, any job. And in this country right now, and I'm not a Trumpster. You all know that. But I'm telling you, it's got to be working for them.
Well, Ronald Reagan famously said in 1980, "Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago?" And then said it again in 1984, and it got him reelected. I mean, are the basic middle class...
No.
Better off than they were 4 years ago. Do you think they recognize that?
I think
we recognize
it. I think
that.
Many of them do recognize it. I think the ones who think he's the next Messiah don't care, and they'll do whatever it takes to reelect Trump. But the middle class is shrinking, and the fact that corporations aren't paying taxes, let alone their fair share of taxes, they're not paying anything, and that, you know, the middle class continues to get hit. They are doing things like the student loan stuff and what Betsy DeVos did to roll back protections around student loans. You know, we saw through the Obama years what a president can do to protect the economy in terms of the bailouts. Now, whether you agreed with the bailouts or not, they saved the economy, saved the banking industry, saved the auto industry. Okay? So now we've got the auto industry is doing okay. The banking industry is on the same trajectory as they were before. Reckless investments, reckless money management, and we're going to end up with another crisis like we did before. And then people will not be able to say, hey, yeah, I'm doing okay.
Now, on that point of optimism, we will take a break. It's the roundtable panel. Libby Post just said that. J.P. Miller is here. Mike Spain, Alan Chartok, Jim Ketterer. You can, of course, share the optimism by emailing us at panel@wamc.org, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to. Excuse me?
I said, I'm a trumpet player. Don't you remember?
Are you on that recording with Charlie Parker?
No, I should have been. But don't you remember when I played the trumpeter's lullaby and we collected a lot of money for the fun drive?
No.
I think that was to get you off the air, wasn't it?
That's one of my favorite Charlie Parker tunes.
Tunisia.
I used to live in Tunisia.
There's a Gillespie, yeah. And
makes me feel homesick for Tunisia.
This is a very relaxed program. We come in from the music.
There's nothing he hasn't done. He's amazing.
Yeah.
But he's so
Can I introduce
humble
the show?
About it.
Yes.
Because no.
We came in from the music. Alan was talking about trumpet playing. If you're just tuning in, this shambles is called The Roundtable. And right now we're in the middle of the Roundtable panel, which sometimes is more formatted, but the regular host, he's not here, and things just fall apart. Mike Spain is here from the Times Union. Yay. Empire Reports' J.P. Miller is here. Political consultant Libby Post is here. Jim Ketterer is here from Bard College. And Alan Chartok, a trumpet player, a radio magnate, is here. You can join the conversation by... Why are you glaring at me?
I'm not glaring at you. I have such respect for you.
The email address is panel@wamc.org. And, oh, lo, we have some letters.
Okay. Do you want me to read them?
Please.
Okay. Here we go. Why does it say Bell Mead down on my paper here?
Oh, did you write Bell Mead down? Oh,
no, I did.
I wrote it on my paper.
It's one of my favorite new bourbons.
I know that.
Delicious.
I'm going to get you a Bell Mead.
You're going to get me a bottle of Bell Mead?
That's right, for being the best thing on this radio
station. Bring it to the show tomorrow morning. What could go wrong?
No, okay. I will. All right. Now, I'm not going to give you this paperback, because if I give you the paperback, I'll never remember the name of it.
Fine.
Okay, here we go. Okay. So James says, Ulster County, New York, special election for county executive today. Polls open till 9.
A good reminder to exercise your
franchise
democracy. Yeah, your franchise.
And Pete says, good morning, panel. Well, Biden came off sloppy on The View. Gabbard was polished, measured, and solid. When Chavez and Cheney went after her on national defense, Gabbard handled them masterfully. You might mention her once in a while. Well, you just did, Pete. And Pete says, love your show. When I used to come back from New York, after I was doing consulting, in order to get in the house, I would have to stop in the toy store in Hudson, New York, when I got off the Amtrak.
Yeah.
I had to get a toy for each kid.
That's a nice thing to do.
Don't you understand?
Yeah.
Because they can write stuff that's not always that nice, like, why don't you wear that? But then I always say, love your show.
Right.
And that's like the toy to get in the door. You see?
I do. That's a good parable.
And Kevin says, brainwashing. Dear panel, Trump is systematically endeavoring to brainwash his followers on Twitter. He seems to be succeeding. Why are so many Americans so gullible? Regards, Kevin from New Ashford. Anybody?
No. You know, I saw a story last week about Twitter saying that they're going to change what's allowed in Twitter feeds and not, and they're trying to protect people from themselves, basically, and being too gullible, and I think... You know, the best antidote to being gullible is not being gullible. Exercise your critical faculties, and you know, otherwise you'll fall for whoever's disinformation
said,
it
sir.
Might be.
Well, that's the problem. It's the critical thinking part. We're not trained to do that anymore.
Well, I don't know. You know, it seems to me that people who you know, fall into the have-not category are susceptible to any argument that will make that somebody is screwing you. Don't you think, Jim?
That's a little elitist, saying that the people who might not have as much financial...
It's not supposed to be elitist. It's supposed to be
lacking
accurate.
Intellectual skills. I mean, I think that's not
Did
fair.
I say that?
Well, when you're stressed...
Wait a second. How dare you? You go out on the Weehawken plane and I'll meet you there.
Right. That's what you were implying, but maybe I'm wrong.
When you're stressed, whether it's economically or otherwise, I think you're more vulnerable to being misled. Wouldn't you say?
Well, you're unhappy.
Yeah.
Well, you're unhappy.
And if you feel like you're losing your place in society, which is what a lot of his base feels like, that because soon whites will be in the minority in this country, they will believe and support anyone who will speak to their fear. And that's what's going on.
Well, I think that all of this is true. You know, part of it can be about one's personal identity, your economic situation, or whatever. But if your starting point is I'm in this camp and this is what I believe, and I'm going to marshal facts to somehow support what I already have decided I believe, then we have much bigger problems than just the next election.
True.
Those are profound issues that will be with us for a long time.
Yes, and that tension in our society will be there, you're quite right, beyond the next election.
And I think it's people choosing up sides. What they're believing in is, I'm in this camp and other people are in the other camp.
Yeah.
I might be in this camp for any number of reasons. It could be economic reasons, could be how you identify yourself, it could be religious reasons, whatever. But once you're in that camp, you're going to hunker down and figure out a way to justify why everybody in your camp is right and everybody in the other camp is wrong.
Well,
and
so for example, you know, a guy or a woman carries, an oil pipe every day back and forth, oil pipes. And then they know somebody, they met at a cocktail party, who is a college professor. And they make $100,000 at the top of their pay scale, a little bit more. And they say, well, you know, I'm killing myself carrying this pipe back and forth all day long. That's work, not teaching two or three classes a week or less if you're at Williams. And what did I? What?
You got me. I'm sorry. You got me.
Did I say something?
Go there? Carry on.
Yeah. Did anything come?
No, it's all right. I just did the Danny Thomas spit take. But go ahead. Go ahead.
So you understand, because there is an inequality, somebody breaking their back every day versus, you know, a college professor turning over some notes. Don't you see?
Yeah, I think inequality is a part of this. I don't think it's the entire explanation, though. I think there's many facets to it, but inequality and growing inequality is certainly a part of the story.
And I think also the lack of being taught how to think critically in schools. You teach to the test. That's not thinking critically. And that's been going on for generations now.
I think a big thing is you used to read in the New York Times all the news, and then you get to the opinion page, and if you were to the right, you might read Bill Sapphire, and if you were to the left, you might read Maureen Downer. Then you kind of get your one little bit of
affirmation.
Self-affirmation. Sure. But now you're on Twitter, and it's 77 tweets that are all in favor of what you think, and one is more rancid than the next, rather than getting a little bit of self-affirmation every
day.
That
is such a good word.
Well, Mike gave it to me.
You know the one I'm talking about?
What word?
Rancid.
Oh, rancid, yeah.
Yeah, Twitter.
Twitter's rancid. Yeah.
Okay, Trump's base in impeachment. Trump's base will think Trump did not do anything wrong if the Democrats don't impeach. Oh, that's interesting. Mm. They will say, if he is so corrupt, why didn't the Democrats impeach? Impeachment will put an official seal on his corruption, even though the Senate will not convict. And thanks, and that's from Mo, which is short for Maureen. Thought I'd tell you that. And Reid says, Biden, regardless of whom the nominee is, I will support them wholeheartedly. That being said, as a member of the often derided millennial population, I remain very skeptical of establishment candidates who do not have a clear stake in the future. Sorry for the length. Reid.
Well, that's kind of harsh, saying that somebody of a certain age has no stake in the future. They have their family. They have everything they've dedicated their life to. I mean, I think that was harsh.
But I don't think it was too long. And I think he said it was too long. That was about the right length.
I didn't say it was too long.
Didn't they say that? Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry about the length. No, I think that was fine.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's good.
Content-wise, you guys can argue about
it. Right. Format was right.
Exactly.
And Jay says, if Trump loses in 2020 and the investigations into his malfeasance are nipping at his tail, don't be surprised if Trump steps down in the same lame duck period and gets pardoned by Mike Pence for crimes that he committed or might have committed, similar to what Ford did for Nixon. Hopefully, the Southern District of New York and other non-federal investigations can bear fruit and put him behind bars where he deserves to be, and that's from Jay. Put another way, lock him up.
Yep.
Okay, now, I'm trying to get these pages separate. I'm so
sorry.
It happens.
We have an analog approach to
it. We sure do.
Regular writer Sonia writes us this morning. This one is a little long. Biden hosted a $2,800 plate fundraiser at the mansion of Comcast executive President David Cohen in Philadelphia last Thursday. Among the dozen select political power players on the host committee was Stephen Kozin, founder and chairman of the union-busting law firm Kozin O'Connor that advertises it helps employers to avoid unionization through positive employee relations and regain non-union status when employees indicate they no longer wish to be union represented. Okay, and I am not going to read the rest of it because it just is too long.
You try to keep them brief.
Yeah. And then Catherine says, dear panel, one of the things that seems to get lost in a conversation about all the investigations in the Trump world is the two long years Republicans in Congress either suppressed them or pretended to investigate and came up with surprise, nothing. The Dems here have been waiting for this time to really get down to business. And Catherine, you are so right. I mean, when you take a look at what guys like Nunes were doing in the time, it was nothing short of disgraceful. Forget about the fact everybody's a Republican. The fact is, it's a separate branch of government, and they did have some responsibilities, and they didn't adhere to those responsibilities. It was terrible. It really was. And Dale says, ground game to win 2020. I happen to know a lot of Trump supporters. We shouldn't mislabel them as Trump or nothing people. The Trump supporters that I know are not in love with the guy. They just starve for something different. If any Democrat can successfully win the ground game and bring the message to the working class that Trump is big business and not for them, it's a game over for Trump. As the blue-collar workers get their tax returns back and either owe or receive a minimal return, they will see that Trump stabbed them in the back. It is happening to every former Trump supporter I know.
Well, but, you know, I think Jim had made the point earlier that it's very difficult for people to change when they have a hardened point of view. For them to admit, I was wrong, and then change their opinion is a very difficult thing. I mean, people do hunker down and dig in and rationalize why they had made a decision rather than just going and changing it.
I don't know, Mike. I think I'm going to disagree with you here. I think that what I'm seeing among this solid group is an adherence to an individual that I have not seen when polling happens and other things where people switch. They literally, that group does not get off the dime. And I've seen where, you know, somebody says, enough of him, enough of Nixon, we're going to change that. I don't think that's the case here.
You're always going to have a base if you're a major party candidate. You're always going to have a base, but the people that decide are going to be the people in the middle. And those people in the middle, I think, weren't so much voting for Trump. I think they're really voting against Hillary. And if
some kind of change or upheaval or something.
Yes.
Well, but she's still got more votes.
So if he or whoever the candidate is can be a better candidate than Hillary, I think they have a great chance.
Hmm.
And that's a pretty low bar, right?
Yeah. I want to get some bacon. What'd you say?
Well, that's assuming that Hillary was a pretty low bar, but she did have 3 million more votes than Trump.
Right. So let's not forget this, this race was won by less than a percentage point of all the votes that were cast.
Nevertheless.
It had to do with the Electoral College. Nevertheless, he is the president.
He's the president.
We have to deal with that, which is just, you know, bizarre.
Do you think that, here's a good question for all of you. Do you think there is any silver lining in the fact that this ogre is president of the United States?
Absolutely. I call him the gift that keeps on giving, because of him, you have a blue wave, you have all this grassroots organizing, you have the women's marches, you have people more energized than ever before to get rid of him.
So what if Hillary had been the president?
If we would have been to complacency and
investigating
under
her on Benghazi and all the rest of that stuff.
And why she fired Comey and all that. Yeah.
Well, you know, she didn't fire Comey.
Well,
honey.
She would have.
Not necessarily.
It's a very provocative question I have, and I won't be able to go home because my wife will have changed the locks on the door.
Yeah. Well, you can sleep in the little house.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I do, you know, I think that as disgusting as he is, you know, he has given a gift to those of us who want people to be organized and want people to speak out. And that's what people are doing. And they're doing it in ways that are changing local political landscapes. The state Senate in New York went Democratic, not by one or two seats, which is what everybody used to play with, but by a healthy majority that it's going to be a generational shift.
And you think that's because of Trump in New York?
Yes, absolutely.
Definitely. Really?
Absolutely. Trump and Cynthia Nixon pushing Cuomo to say goodbye to the IDC.
The Independent Democrats.
Independent Democrats. But, I mean, AOC beating Crowley had an impact. Everybody, there's a domino effect that's been happening. But, yes, I do think that the blue wave is what brought in, you know, the Senate majority. I mean, you had somebody like Kemp Hannon, who was a
man with two first names.
But a longtime Senate Republican from Long Island who lost his seat.
Yeah.
Well, nationally speaking, how far can a blue wave go? How far left can the Democratic Party go and win national elections, Alan Shartok?
Well, let's assume. It's a very interesting question. I think the danger for the Democratic Party, oh boy, is that it's going to go too far left. And when they do, the middle will get alienated. Now, there will be people out there who don't agree with me about that, but I do. I think that's the danger.
We are a centrist country. Whether it's center-right or center-left, we're centrist. And we have to recognize that.
Is that C-E-N-T or R-E?
Oh, well, I'm not from Britain, so it's E-R.
Anybody else?
I think when it comes down to the general election, also people, if they're inclined to have a Democrat win in general, if they are Democrats and then they don't vote for the candidate, the Democratic candidate, they also need to understand that they're essentially voting against their party.
That candidate.
That by voting for a third party candidate or by not voting, you're helping the other side to win.
Which reminds me, I meant to bring that up and I'm glad you mentioned it. I saw in an email that somebody said that Bernie was thinking of running if he loses the primary as a third-party candidate.
Well,
that there would be a disaster.
Yeah, before you say that, ooh. I mean, that needs to be what researched.
Well, there was that rumor prior to the last election, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you wonder if it's just one of his opponents sort of threatening him not to do it that way.
There are also, another huge thing, obviously, that shapes elections are these events that happen. I think 19 days before the last election, the Billy Bush tape came out, okay? And everybody thought Trump's finished,
yep.
including
and
Trump.
How about
and
Comey?
Then 11 days before, Comey came out with Anthony Weiner's email. So those events will that no one can foresee will happen again
October
this time.
October surprise.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Anthony Weiner is in the POST this morning.
Yeah,
so all over the
page,
place.
Yeah.
For what?
Yeah,
trying to hawk a book about his escapades.
Oh, God.
By Carlos Danger.
Nobody wants it.
Tell him to go home and stay home.
They have in the Post some suggested titles for the book, which I won't repeat, but
yeah, that's a good idea.
They're good.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. Hey, you know what else is going on Friday?
What?
We have a 100th birthday party for Pete Seeger, who will not be there. But
will he be there?
It's the 100th anniversary of his birth.
And this will be at the Linda on Friday night. Alan, could you tell us about that in our remaining 45 seconds?
Well, I love the idea. I've been looking forward to it for weeks. Happy Traum, the great Happy Traum, will be leading us in song, and he's terrific. And the telephone number is 1-800-323-9262.
That's a $100 pledge per ticket.
And it's 7 p.m.
Can you Friday night.
Can you guarantee what Pete Seeger favorites will be sung by the crowd?
I cannot.
So you have no idea?
No. I know every Pete Seeger song because I have a Pandora station, the Pete Seeger station.
Oh, terrific.
And I listen to everything and stuff that, well, I know we have no time, but I remember when.
We have 12 seconds.
Okay. I remember when I asked him, because he was returning to Peekskill for our concert. And remember, Peekskill is where he and Paul Robeson and these other guys.
Stone.
People threw rocks at him. He said, no, that's not what. But there is a song out there about how he and Paul Robeson stood firm. And my Pandora station came up with it.
Beautiful. Well, on that happy note, we will call this panel adjourned. Thanks to Mike Spain, J.P. Miller, Libby Post, Jim Ketterer, and Alan Shartok. I'm Ray, in for Joe. More Roundtable ahead.